What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Elevate Experience,
the podcast about overcoming struggles and adversity and how that relates to addiction, recovery, and health. I am your host and the CEO of Elevate Addiction Services, Angie Manson.
And I'm Dallas Terrell, co-host and life intervention counselor at Elevate. Thank you so much for joining us, and let's jump right in.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Today, we are very honored and happy to have with us a CrossFit athlete. I'm going to introduce her straight from her bio from the CrossFit website because it's pretty phenomenal. So here we go. Three-time CrossFit Games athlete, Carlene Matthews, formerly Lassard, has demonstrated consistent and measurable improvement since her first regional appearance in 2012, when she took 18th at the Northwest Regional. She rose to 9th and 4th the next 2 years, making her CrossFit Games debut in 2015 after a second place West Regional performance and taking 36th at the Games. In 2016, she won the West Regional and finished the Games with a 13th place improvement, taking 23rd. In 2017, she again won the West Regional, however, suffered an injury at the Games, having to withdraw after the first day of competition. Owner of CrossFit St. Helens in Oregon, Matthews overcame drug and alcohol addiction with the help of CrossFit. She currently runs and operates a recovery program out of CrossFit St. Helens that is free to anyone with at least 48 hours clean and sober. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
I'm super excited for this. I love hearing about people that are doing CrossFit and are sober. That's just like who I am as a person. Angie as well, probably. Like, we just super identify with those two labels as CrossFitters and people in recovery. So it's super amazing to know that there's more people out there.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like every time I, you know, hear a story of somebody who is like, tells me that they're, you know, like they have an addiction history and CrossFit's helped them. And it's actually interesting, like how many people there actually are out there that we don't realize that, you know, are in the kind of same boat, and CrossFit has changed their life and they've, you know, found a better way of living, and CrossFit's a big part of their story. So it's pretty cool.
Awesome. I love just your history, and I read on your bio. So you got sober. Obviously you had some issues which led to you getting sober, and then you found CrossFit. Do you feel like it's the CrossFit that helped you stay sober?
Yeah. I would say CrossFit helps me to continue to stay sober. But I found CrossFit about a month and a half to 2 months sober. So it was definitely a really, like, I wasn't in a place where I was ready to, you know, admit that I had an addiction or that, like, alcohol and drugs were a problem. I was just at a place where I was like, yeah, I'm just not going to drink right now. And that's when I found CrossFit. And so CrossFit really like helped me like find out, like decide who I wanted to be and learn who I actually was without having, you know, drugs and alcohol in my life.
Yeah. I mean, we often talk about the parallels of being a drug addict, alcoholic, and being a CrossFitter. The mentalities are very similar, which is why I think so many of us are drawn towards CrossFit.
Absolutely. Yeah. I joke to some of my members who are in recovery that like addicts are really good at CrossFit because we know how to suffer. Like we know how to suffer and we're not afraid of suffering. And so, you know, we like latch on to CrossFit, and that's like, you know, in its very basic form, but there's so many parallels to, CrossFit and, you know, like the 12-step program and recovery. It's just crazy. Every time I think about it, I'm like, yeah, you know, like in recovery, like we do the same thing. So it's really cool.
Yeah, no, that's hilarious. I definitely find myself always making like gym analogies or like CrossFit analogies. like while I'm in session with clients, or, and it's kind of this joke where they're like, don't talk to Dallas, like he's going to make some like gym reference, you know, but it's always true. It's like cliche and it's true and it comes up all the time. So it's funny you mentioned that, especially the whole suffering part, like to some part, or to some degree, we enjoy the pain, the suffering. Yeah. We're absolutely like used to that.
Yeah. Like it's so funny. Is that
and we're definitely not scared of it.
Yeah, we've suffered way more in our addiction, so it's like this is nothing. Like, you know, we can handle this. We've suffered. We put ourselves through way worse. So,
ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
So I'm super excited, like, to hear kind of about your gym and how the like the classes for people in recovery, like how did that come about? How did that start to be like a thing for you? Was it just kind of like an idea, or is it something you always wanted to do?
Yeah. It came out about with, through Phoenix, Multisport,
awesome.
Who is now the Phoenix now. But, somebody had contacted me and knew that I was in recovery and, made me aware of a fundraiser that the Phoenix was doing. And so I was like, yeah, let's do this fundraiser. I'm super passionate about this like fundraiser. Let's participate in it. So I had my gym participate in it, and then I got in contact with Scott Strode. And I just sent him a message on like social media and I said, hey, I'm in recovery. I want to be of service. And I see that you're doing CrossFit. I see that like this program that you are like, that you're doing is really cool. How can I be of service? How can I use my platform of a games athlete to help you? And he just kind of like, I just kind of shared a little bit of my story with him and we just started talking and I became a little bit involved with them. I started chatting with them and kind of seeing their program. Two of my members actually, worked for the mental health department, the local mental health. And they mentioned that like, hey, I think we could get a grant. And so we started exploring that and we ended up getting a grant, to have, classes here. We got one of our, one of the members who works for the mental health department. She got her level one. She started helping me coach the classes. And then there was a local, a 12-step meeting, that was literally next door to our, gym that was held on Sunday night.
Oh, wow.
And, we started going to it and realized like, hey, this would be kind of cool. Like let's offer a class on Sunday night before the meeting and then go to the meeting and let's see what the changes are. Let's see like the impact that we're going to have. And so we started doing that. We started it once a month and then we got the grant and we were offering classes like, I think 3 times a week and then people wanted more. And so we were offering class. Then we started offering classes 5 days a week. The grant that we had was a little bit like, it wasn't like complicated, but there was just a lot of hoops we had to jump through. We had to do a lot of like, you know, like give them a lot of like data and like all that stuff. And so the following year we were like, you know what? We're not going to do the grant again. We're not going to get another one. I'm just going to run this program. And so we changed the name of the program. We brought on another coach, another head coach. And we have kind of just revamped the program. We had it originally, we were working with a treatment center. So a local treatment center, they would walk here every day. And it was open to the public, but the majority of the people were at the treatment center. And so with that, then, you know, COVID struck and we basically lost the treatment center. And so when we were hosting, or we were having this class at 2:30 in the afternoon, it was really only, it was only getting the treatment center, because that's the only people that could come at 2:30 in the afternoon. People that were in recovery, right, and, you know, doing adult things, had to work. And so we changed our class time. Yeah. So now we hold it, in the evening, and we have between like 7 and 10, we can only have 10. So we have between 7 and 10 per class. I have a head coach who's in recovery, and is really passionate about the program. And he's like taking it on like 100%. And, he's like doing a coach's development course and just becoming a better coach for the program. So it's going really well, especially, you know, for us being in this, like in this time. We still have a lot of people that are coming and that are, active. And to be honest, like we thought about like, oh, well, do we cancel the recovery? And like, no, because our recovery community needs this more than ever. So,
so
yeah, we're just continuing it, and, it's been great. It's really cool. We would like to eventually get to a place where we can offer 2 classes a day, one in the afternoon for the treatment centers and then one in the evening. But right now we don't have like the need for it because we don't have the treatment centers.
That's phenomenal. And I'm really glad you said that, because we, as being a rehab, have had to go through similar things. And we said, you know, people need us now more than ever. Now's not the time to do less. It's the time to do more and really try to support people who are otherwise really struggling right now. And as you've seen, just having fitness for recovery, but also for people that were stuck sheltered in place. Like I just couldn't imagine not having fitness to help either of those issues.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, for me, it was a big eye opener, being pregnant and having a baby. And so, you know, after I had her, I took 2 weeks off, and it was like in that like third or fourth week postpartum that I started, like, I was like, Oh, this is it. Like, I need my fitness back. Like, I need to exercise, and like walks and slow movement wasn't cutting it for me anymore. And I started to feel that like really big, like itch. And I was like, I need my exercise. Like I need my fitness. That's what I'm missing. And so being able to, 'cause I really haven't been without it. So really seeing that firsthand for me made me realize like that it, like how important it is to people, and, or how important it is to all of us. And we may not realize it all the time.
Yeah, that's a great point, especially if you're always like submerged in fitness, kind of like you were saying.
Yeah.
Fitness has been this huge part of your life, and then it's gone. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is how normal people that aren't into fitness feel normally. Like we have the solution, I promise.
Yeah.
I was going to say, do you think it's like common for, you know, athletes competing in regionals? Do you think it's common for them to not drink and to not use drugs, just because it's such like an intense sport and it's such a like body heavy topic? What do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, I do think that I will say that CrossFit for me, and becoming so entrenched in CrossFit and like really becoming obsessed with it, helped me to not want to drink. And, so I was like, I got to the place where I was like, I don't want to, I can't drink tonight because I want to go like work out right tomorrow. Or like it, for me, I look back at it and I'm like, I can't imagine if I was still drinking, like this would be like if I would, you know, like I have friends who drink and, you know, they'll go out on the weekends and stuff and then come back in, like do a workout hungover. And I'm like, I just can't imagine. And so I do think that there's, I think with most of the elite are probably not going to drink in season. It's not going to make them perform better. But with that, they may drink outside of season, but I know that I would say you're not getting people, actively drinking and using in season. So it was kind of for me, it was good. I'm doing CrossFit, so I really don't have an option of drinking. I mean, I do have an option, but like it definitely made it easier because I wanted to work out more than I wanted to drink.
I love that. Yeah. No, that's huge. Yeah. Thank you for answering that. I appreciate that. Another question I had for you was, what do you think is like the biggest takeaway from doing this recovery CrossFit like program? What's been like your favorite part about that? Like what has been your favorite part about that?
I would say that my favorite part is just watching people's journey. We have one athlete that has been with us since the start. And so she's been with us for like 3 years. Nice. And to see her now like becoming a legit athlete, and from seeing where she started, you know, and to seeing her now, her life is just completely different. And it's really cool to see her just flourishing as an athlete and getting better and better. And then also like her life is getting so much better too, you know, like she's like, I paid my insurance for like the first time by myself, you know, like this is really cool. I did adult things and she's on top of that, like killing it in the gym. And so, that's really cool for me to watch. It's really cool for me to, you know, see other people, especially like the female, like I participate in like a women's meeting, and to hear the females talk about how it's changing their perspective on their body and their how they feel about themselves, that's been really, really like empowering for me to hear that from other women, because that's really what I want. Like I want to hear that from them. I want them to be able to see that in themselves. And that helped me. So like to be able to give what I've been given back to them has been like probably the most like rewarding part about it.
I love that answer. I was literally just talking about the women empowerment angle the other day with these guys when we were talking about CrossFit, because I think for women especially who really struggle with body image and so much or a lot of our drinking and using can be to cope with our body image and that sort of thing. So I love how CrossFit has sort of changed, at least for me and what I see in our clients, this image of what they think healthy is into actually being healthy and living healthy as opposed to just being skinny or, you know, skinny smoking cigarettes, but I'm sober. It's like really transforming them to overall healthy and well-being, body, mind, and soul, not just like how you visually look. And I think that's empowering for a woman, yes, like absolutely, every day to have.
Yeah,
that.
100%. I mean, I think that like, it allows us as females to love ourselves for more than just what we look like. Like it allows us to be like strong, and it's so empowering to be like, you know, going side by side with a male who respects you, you know, and to be like, you know, for me, like to be able to beat the guys and stuff like that is like, yep, try and beat me, you know, like that's really cool.
I love that. I beat Dallas once.
Yes,
once. it was an amazing day, but I beat Dallas.
She did.
Right. Hold on to that.
You did. You beat me.
Yeah. I'll take it all day, every day.
What was the workout?
Yeah.
Oh man, it was a lot of overhead stuff. And yeah, I don't know, but
I don't remember either, but
you were on the other side, Jim. So you probably didn't even realize I was trying to beat you, which is probably why I was able to beat you.
No, I remember it because I was almost done. And I remember you're on the rower or something. She's like, I beat you from like across the gym.
It was a big day.
Yeah. That really encouraged me to finish.
Yeah. So I would love to know, what is it like competing at the games? It's such a neat experience for us to watch as viewers, as CrossFit fans, as CrossFit coaches, as gym owners. You know, we get the perspective from one angle, but how is it being there? What's that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's a, you know, once in a lifetime opportunity. And so I'm super grateful to have been able to have that opportunity and to have made it to that level. You know, I have a unique situation because I got to experience, you know, the Open, the games. And then I also got to experience the Masters, and is two whole different things and are two whole different games really. You know, the open division or the actual games they're hard. It's really hard. And, it is, you know, my first year going there, I didn't realize how hard they were going to be. And I kind of like threw myself a pity party, like, this is hard. And, I'm really sore and this hurts. And, you know, and so I didn't really have fun. I didn't know if I wanted to go back. And then once I realized that it was hard for everyone and everyone hurt, and that was part of it, that was when I kind of made the decision to try and go back. And then for me, like just seeing improvement, that was what made me want to continue to try. But yeah, I mean, it was just, it's really just kind of a whole different world. Just a different experience, and it's very like business. Like you are there for the games and you are there to do the best you can, and you eat, sleep, drink, like CrossFit. And it's really just like, for spectators, it's a fun, you know, event. And like for the athletes, and even at regionals, it was like, this is my job. And like, I'm not hanging out with people. Like, thank you for coming and watching me, but I'm not going to hang out with you. I'm not going to, like, that's just kind of the way it is. So sometimes like that was hard. Like, it was like, I want to experience the games from, you know, I want to experience this fun, you know, thing, but it's not, winning is fun. So, you know, in order to win, like I had to be on top of my game and, you know, making sure that, I had everything dialed in to the T. The Masters division became a little bit more fun. So it was a little bit more, laid back. And I went in with a lot different expectations. I went in with just like, I'm just here to like participate, and I'm gonna do the best I can, but this is kind of like a free-for-all. I didn't expect to be here, and that ended up being my best year. So like that, I ended up doing the best when I didn't have like all these expectations on myself, and I just went out, you know, just like, all right, let's just do the best we can. Like, no real expectation, you know, you really haven't been training to be the fittest you've ever been. So yeah. And you know, there's not like a lot of like media and that pressure on it either. So no one's really watching that much. Like only your fans are watching. So, yeah, it was a different experience, but it was a lot more fun.
And that's like important. I said,
winning is fun, and I won. Well, I took second, so
Hey, that's still a huge win.
That's amazing, considering the competition in that world. That is huge.
Yeah, I was definitely happy with it.
Yeah. So do you have plans to go back? You have plans after baby to try again?
I have no idea. At this moment, you know, a lot of people are asking, like, are you going to compete again? Like, right now I say, like, no, I don't really have a desire to, but who knows what'll change. But in the place I'm in right now, like, I'm like, yeah, right. I only get to train for like 30 minutes a day, you know, like I can't get in more than 30 minutes away from the baby. So, yeah, I mean, I would like to do some like local little stuff. I don't know if I want to go back to that level again. And I think that the reason I don't know if I want to go back to that level is because I don't know if I can, just in terms of like, right now everything feels really heavy. And so I've always been like, I haven't really been the strongest athlete in the field. And so for like weights to feel really heavy right now, it's kind of like discouraging for me. Like things feel really, really heavy that like shouldn't feel heavy for me or that didn't used to feel heavy. And so like, I don't know if I could ever go back. But I think a lot of things could change. I think it's just the place I'm at right now.
Sure. It's very humbling. And especially when you're used to being at a certain place and not being able to be there, it does a lot to the brain and the mindset.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's been really humbling.
And like you said, to compete, you've got to be all in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was surprised that Annie, like right after she delivered, she's like, I'm training. I'm going to the next game. I was like, oh my gosh, this lady is amazing. Like that could not be me. My unfortunately didn't find CrossFit till well after I had my kids, but kids take a lot out of you. And like you said, going to the games, it's a kind of an all in kind of thing. So I don't blame you for taking some time to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, like I would say like the sleep alone is like a big thing that like, that's a big part of CrossFit and that's a big part of recovery. And it just, there's no way it's happening right now, you know? So.
Yeah.
That is a good point. Yeah. I guess sleep is not a big part of being a new mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if ideally, what is your workout schedule look like now? If you're kind of saying you get 30 minutes a day, if you're lucky.
Yeah. I mean, that's an exaggeration because, I'm very lucky that, I have a lot of help. Like I said, you know, like I went through a period where I wasn't working out and, I wanted to be, but I wasn't really like cleared and I was just trying to, you know, play it safe. And it really affected me. And I realized that like, I'm a better mother when I can work out. I noticed that like, I'll get really, really anxious and anxiety, when I haven't worked out or if I don't know if I'm going to be able to work out. I get really anxious and I get really short and not patient with my daughter, or my husband. So, I know for me, for my mental health that I need to find time to do it. Typically I'll train early in the morning, so I'll work out early. I know that she gives me, I have more chance for longer stretches in the morning. And so I usually can get about an hour and a half to 2 hours between like feeds and like putting her down. And so I try and do some stuff during that time. And I try to do it in the morning because I know that for me, if I don't get it done in the morning, nothing is guaranteed for me. So she may not go down in the afternoon, but she's usually going to go down at like 6 or 7 in the morning. I just found that and when my husband is a firefighter, so, he works like 2 or 3 days on and then has like 3 or 4 or 5 days off. So when he's home, I feed her and then hand her off. And those are the good days because I don't have to worry. When he's not home, I feed her, I put her down, make sure she's down. Then I go downstairs. And there's times when, like, she's up 30 minutes later. And so then I go back upstairs and attend to her. And then we try the next nap. And we try again. And then she might not go down. And then we try the next nap. And so there's some days when it was like, I would go down there like five times. I would go downstairs five times and try and get a workout in and never getting really like much of like 20, maybe 15 or 20 minutes before she woke up again. So, but yeah, I'm really lucky. I mean, my mom came today and helped me, and that was helpful because yeah, she woke, I had a plan to train with someone and she woke up about 15 minutes into it. So, so I am really lucky to have like help. But I also, like I said, like know that that's a priority for me. So I've got to move every day. Because it like mentally, it makes me a better mom and wife and coach and all of the above.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to take care of number one so that you can be there for all those other people.
Yeah.
If you're not taking care of yourself, you're not going to be of any service to any of them.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's essentially like the oxygen mask analogy. You got to put your mask on first so that
yep.
you put somebody else's mask on. Yeah, I'm notorious for always bringing that one up, but it's a cliche.
It works a lot.
So true, though.
Yeah, I thought. Yeah, it's super true, and you know, especially like you're saying, the biggest part is like the awareness of how you are in your day when you don't work out, and people in recovery or just people in normal life. It's so important. It's not a lot of people have kind of those hacks, those life hacks, where it's like when I do this, I'm a better version of myself. And I just love that CrossFit's been able to be that solution for us three and a lot more other people in the world too.
Yeah. Well, and then sometimes, and it's good to have people around us who are like-minded. Like you were mentioning, and you've mentioned as well, like sometimes I won't even realize if I'm being edgy. And it took my son saying to me the other day, well, actually this was a couple months ago, he's at college now, Mom, when was the last time you worked out? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, no, like, just, you know, when was it? And I was like, dang, dude, you're right. It's been like 2 days. No wonder. And he just, like, luckily he knew me enough to kind of check me to go, yeah, you need to go get in the gym. All this like stuff, that's not you. And so it's cool that you have people around you that understand that and can help you and recognize that in you, even when sometimes we don't recognize it in ourselves.
Yeah, totally.
So I had a question. I wanted to, I thought it was a cool parallel. You were saying how the treatment center in Oregon, right, would bring the clients to your gym. When we first started doing CrossFit, we would take our clients to like a local gym. And I think it was because we had like mutual friends that were sober at that gym. And they kind of did like a 6:30 class for our clients. And we'd drive them over there. Do you think that treatment center is interested in like building a gym for them, for their facility? Do you think they're trying to do more with that? Is that like a successful thing they're doing?
Man, I wish that they were on board enough to be able to do that. So one of the, one of their head counselors is a member here. So she understands the impact of, of CrossFit. She gets it.
Yeah.
Most of the staff that work there are, well, not most of them, a few of the staff that work there are, participate in our recovery program. Our recovery classes.
Nice.
I think that on a small level, they understand it. I don't think on the big level that they understand the importance of it. Just because you know, they're still not allowing them to come in. I know that they are doing, like, I donated a pair of dumbbells to them so that they could do stuff. But you know, when, I guess the way it is now is like they've rotated so much that all the people at the treatment center right now haven't experienced CrossFit. So, they're not really missing. They're not feeling they're missing anything. So it's, you know, it's interesting. I
that makes sense.
I would love for them to be able to do that. You know, when I, out of college, I worked at a residential treatment center for youth. And, I got them a gym, and, it was when I was first getting into CrossFit, and I got them a gym and we outfitted it with a bunch of CrossFit stuff. And, I would take them over to their school area where, the gym was, and we would run classes. And, you know, now it sucks because I don't think it's being used anymore, for what it could be used for. I think that they do kind of use it, but you know, it really requires, like, to run a program like this, it really requires, or that, like what you guys do, what, we do even with our recovery, it requires somebody to be like all in, you know, it requires people to, you know, stick with it, or like have somebody that, like, a replacement. I mean, before we hired, or before I brought on another coach, it was just me. And so, like, if I had to cancel the class, like, they lost out, you know? So, like, when I was at the games or something, like,
right,
you know, there's no one else to run the class. And so, so now we have another coach, so that allows us to, like, he does majority of the coaching. And then, like, if he needs to leave for something, then I can cover it, you know? So, you know, I think that it does require, like, help. You can't just, you know, it's not going to be just like a one man job. And that's hard. It's hard to get, like, that commitment, especially when we're offering a service for free. 'Cause you know, we can't pay our recovery coach. We're offering a free service, you know, like, it's free.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it would be really cool if they did that, but, I don't think this local one will ever. But who knows?
One day.
Yeah.
Yeah. All it takes is one person. Yeah. Who's super inspired and super passionate. Yeah.
There is a program in, Portland that is, it's called the Recovery Gym, and they are partnered with the Alano Club, and they do a whole program, and like now they're doing everything online and on Zoom, and, they have a good program going. They have but they also have like a lot of money from the Alano Club. So, they do a lot of like fundraiser stuff. But they're not working out of a treatment center. They're bringing treatment centers in, but they have like somebody that goes and picks them up in a van. And, you know, they just have like a lot, they have a lot of staff on to do that. So yeah, I think that, there's definitely potential for, more programs, but it's a process, you know, I'm sure you guys know. So
well, it is optional for our staff, but if it was optional for the clients, we probably wouldn't have as big of a turnout as us making it mandatory. But then, you know, because you don't know what you don't know, and it takes, you know, going in and being pushed a lot of times, especially, well, I don't even know if it's just an addict thing, but it takes you being pushed before you learn to love it and see the benefit of it. But you got to do a lot of hard work to get to that point. And so I'm glad that, you know, we've just kind of implemented it as part of our process, and have people like Dallas who are very enthusiastic about it. And so the clients want to come in because they like hanging out with Dallas.
Totally. Yeah. And like, ultimately, like, I'm always like telling people, I'm like, I don't care what got you in here. Like, I don't care if you came in because you wanted to leave the treatment center and like you just wanted to get out of the house. I don't care what got you in here. Like, but you're going to find something that you love here, you know? So I just need you to get in the doors and then you will find something that like you can take from this. But, like mandatory or not, you know, like it doesn't matter what gets them there. It's what will keep them there. So.
Yeah, of course. I think that's, you know, you answering that question just kind of points out the importance of like conversations like this, of that, like CrossFit is really helping people navigate addiction. And it should be a thing that people should have a little bit more attention on, or it's like, we're kind of bringing attention to something that's legit and something that's legitimately helping people with drug addiction, substance abuse, all sorts of addictions. So I liked in your response that it was like, if we're trying to make it work, and I wish it would be bigger and better, but we still got some work to do and there's still more conversations to be had. And, you know, a lot of people hear that we coach CrossFit and have a CrossFit gym and they're like, why? They don't really get it. It's cool to talk about, I guess. So I appreciate your answer to that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, even, you know, in our recovery community, we have a really strong recovery community in St. Helens. And, you know, I got a little bit of pushback when I started participating more in 12-step meetings and talking about CrossFit and promoting our program and telling people that, like, hey, this stuff works. And I get it that like meetings might not be for you, but hey, here's another option. Like, you don't have to live and die from the meeting. Like, I can give you another option here. And there was a little pushback at first. But slowly but surely people kind of started like coming in and trying it out and realizing that like, oh, this is just another tool in my toolbox. This is just another tool. This doesn't mean it's going to take away from any 12-step meeting. It's not going to take away from any part of my recovery. It's just another tool. And you can't go wrong with just like learning another
more
tool.
Tools.
Yeah.
That's a great point. And we're kind of in that same boat too, where we're non-12-step. So we're a little bit more holistic and different, and we kind of have that same vibe where it's like, dude, we're trying to give out more tools and use all of them. Take it all. CrossFit's a legit one that we're finding to be super helpful. So I love that you mentioned that too, because some people are very rigid in their recovery, and however they got sober, that's the way to do it. And if they didn't do CrossFit to get sober, and they don't get it. And there's people like us that are like, dude, it works.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a one or the other. They can all work together. And the more the better, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's so cool that you're doing that. I really kind of just wanted to acknowledge you for using your voice and your platform to be of service and to be helpful. I think that's so cool. And I admire that. So I just kind of wanted to say that to you. It's awesome.
Thank you. Of course, it's been really a really great like opportunity, and I'm super grateful to have had the opportunity or have the the means to be able to do this. So if I didn't own my own gym, then I wouldn't be able to do this. And so I'm really lucky.
Well, the fact that you do this and you do it for free, that's really amazing. People there are really lucky. I don't know if they understand how lucky they are to have it, which is probably like one of our hardest things to combat when we have people who leave here and they're hooked on CrossFit, but they're like, how do I go afford this at home? CrossFit's not cheap. And so, we're trying to figure out ways, either, like you said, through grants or other avenues of how to help them sort of get set up so they can continue CrossFit and, until they get on their feet. So I think it's so amazing that you offer that. We need more of that for sure.
Yeah. I usually like try and like reach out to like other, gyms. If I know, like if we had, like when we were having just the treatment center, like if they were going to a different city, and I would reach out to another gym, and gyms are really open. Like, people want to give back. And so, like, that for me, like, I was able to reach out. It's just, it's really hard because they go to like a different city and it's back home, and they, I'm like, you know, you got, like, I got you this like scholarship to go to this gym. Commit, like, don't bail out on me, you know. But it's just, it's really hard for them to now, like, you know, be out of treatment and then try and incorporate like this into their life and, you know, everything else and being newly in recovery. And so, you know, for us having the structure of like, okay, it is, you know, every day at 7 o'clock at night, and you have people in your community that are going to hold you accountable and like, hey, I'm coming to pick you up for CrossFit tomorrow. You know, we have a lot of like, a lot of the people in our program are like, you know, they come together and it's like, just like they would a meeting, like, hey, I'm going to pick you up for the meeting tomorrow. Like, cool. Like, hey, do you need a ride? You need a ride to CrossFit? Like, yeah, cool. Pick me up. I know for me, like when I make excuses to go and to not go to meetings, if I know I really need a meeting, I reach out and ask a friend to pick me up, because I'm not gonna, if I don't, then I like, I'll find something else. My couch will feel a lot better. So like things like that, I think are really helpful, and like to have that community and a community of people who get you, you know, like who are in recovery also. I'm always like, these are my people, you know, and like, and normal people are my people too, but like people in recovery, that like, those are my people. So
they're extra. Yeah. You just, there's that much more in people.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's huge. I spend a lot of the times with clients in the program and in CrossFit. So I kind of have that cool, like, middle ground of being like their counselor and their coach. And we spend a lot of time before they leave trying to like find a gym in their area. I like prep them on it, and I'll like bring them to their website and show them all the pictures, and we'll like zoom in on like the group photos, and I'm like, see, there's some young girls or young guys there. Like, those guys look cool. Like, you would totally fit in this picture. And I really try to sell them on it for the exact same reasons of like, these are our people, and like, they get it, and they're focused, and they get up early to like take care of their body. Like, those are the people you want to be around. Like, let this community push you and find that when you get home. So we try to make it important to locate that before they discharge. And
yeah,
9 times out of 10, it's super helpful.
That is, that is like,
if they do it,
really good. Yeah, that's really good. And I think it's like, it's funny because, you know, even my regular members are, they'll be like, oh, I didn't want to go drop in at this box because I didn't know anyone, you know? And so it's like, you know, you can only imagine like how much more intimidating it is to someone who's only been CrossFitting for like maybe a couple weeks, you know, but is like sold on it. And so they don't realize, but it's, you know, a CrossFit gym is very similar to like any sort of 12-step meeting, where you walk in and everyone's going to introduce themselves to you, and they're going to treat you like you've been there forever. And if they don't, it's probably not the box for you, you know? So like, they should like, my gym, if you don't introduce yourself to somebody that you don't recognize or know, like, you're going to get the eye from me, you know, like, you, they know that if they see somebody that they don't recognize, I don't care if you think that they've been a different class, or I don't care if they've been coming to 6 a.m. for, you know, 3 months, but now they came to noon and you don't recognize them, you go introduce yourself to them. And that's just the way that, that's just the community that we have. And I want everyone to feel like, you know, at home when they walk in the door, because it's intimidating to walk in the doors.
It is. I mean, and I've been CrossFitting for 6-7 years. And even when I've gone out of town, I get anxiety about going into a new box, and I know the movements, I know what I'm doing. I'm a gym owner, and I go through it. And I know if I go through it, for sure, like you said, these people new in recovery for sure go through it times 100. So I am curious, what's your number one favorite CrossFit move or movement? Yeah.
That's a hard question.
I know.
It is hard.
But they're also good too.
I don't know. You know, I used to really like muscle ups because I really like the like aspect of like flying and, but now I'm not as good at muscle ups anymore because I've taken some time off of them. So I don't quite like them that much. And then, my answer to that question always used to be like, oh, well, I like deadlifts cause I'm really strong at a strong deadlift, but I like hate cleaning up all the weights and getting them all out. but right now I really like the assault bike. It's weird, but I like the assault bike and the ski right now a lot. So it's kind of weird.
That's crazy. Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that. Like, I love the assault bike.
I don't know if I can say I love it, but I'm starting to like it better and I'm starting to enjoy like the challenge of it. So.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah,
like that. That's how I feel about burpees.
Oh, I do love burpees.
I love burpees. Okay.
Yeah, that's the answer for me. That is I love burpees.
Wow, love them? My gosh, yeah. Both of you?
I love them too. So that's
Yep.
There we go. We got that going. That's the pain. That's that suffering we were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. I like that. I like the heavyweights. I'm going to stick with the heavyweights.
The heavyweights, yeah. So 10 years sober. Is that correct?
Yep.
There you go. How does that feel? How does getting 10 years feel? That's like a big, big milestone.
Yeah. You know, like at 9 years, one of my, I was getting like my 9-year coin and one of the, a woman that, in recovery that I really respect. She was like, "You're almost at the 10. And I was like, "Oh wow, I am." And then that whole like year was like, "I can't wait for 10. I can't wait for 10, you know?" And then it came and now I'm like, "I can't wait for 20. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it didn't start out as like, 10 years ago would not have said I would be sober today. because I started out just kind of at like, you know, just today. I probably didn't admit that I was an addict until maybe the first year and a half. I finally started saying like, you know what? I think that like, maybe I'm an addict. I mean, for me, it just started out as like, I'm just going to prove that I don't need that. I can not drink for 30 days. And then it was like, oh, this isn't that bad. I can just keep going. And then I started realizing, you know, like that I liked the person that I was when I wasn't drinking better than I liked the person when I was drinking. And, I just didn't want to be that person anymore. I never 10 years ago, I didn't say I'm never drinking again. But today I can absolutely say like, I should never drink again. I do not plan on ever drinking again. Like I do not like the person that I am when I drink and nobody around me wants me to drink. Yeah. I mean, today I am able to like to say that that's not something that I should be doing. So
I think that's really powerful because I think for a lot of people and I, myself included, I start to think you need some catastrophic event to occur, something really bad to happen in your life, or there's got to be a bottom before somebody, you know, wants help or reaches for help. And so I think it's amazing that for you just got tired of being the you that you were when you were drinking. There wasn't any of the horrific things. You didn't have to take it to those lengths to turn your life around and to have sustained success. I think that's very empowering for our listeners to hear.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that is like a big part of my story too, is that like, yeah, like I really didn't have like a huge rock bottom. But I did, you know, recognize that I didn't like the person that I was when I was drinking, and I was making a lot of poor choices. And those didn't really align with deep down who I wanted to be. You know, like I thought I wanted to be the person that everybody else wanted me to be. You know, I thought I wanted to be the party girl because that's what I thought. Everyone liked the party girl. But deep down, I think I knew that, that I wasn't that person. I wasn't the person that I was when I drank. So, it just took a little bit for me to figure that out.
Yeah, of course. No, I think that's true. Yeah, I guess, you know, kind of my last question, probably winding down here a little bit, is what is your recovery? I know you kind of touched on it a little bit with being, you know, a new mother and getting a fitness stand, but what does your recovery look like 10 years into it? Like, what does that look like for you now in this age, mm-hmm. this COVID time too, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's, I really, like, I love that question because, for me, it has like really evolved. Like my recovery has evolved. And, you know, when I got sober, I did not get sober in meetings. I got sober in my therapist's office. And, you know, so 10 years ago, it was me going into therapy once a week and getting stickers every time, every day that I didn't drink. So I'd go in there once a week and I would get 7 stickers to put in my book for the days that I didn't drink. And I collected these stickers and stickers and stickers. And that was my accountability then. And that was what I needed. And I continued to, you know, like work on myself in therapy. And so I spent probably, it wasn't until maybe, you know, on and off for the last 10 years, I was going to, therapy regularly. If it wasn't, you know, it started out at once a week and then it, you know, went down to like, maybe then I'd go once a month, stuff like that. But, so from there, it kind of transitioned for me into, you know, I was really just doing CrossFit and, I wasn't doing, much of anything else. Every once in a while I would, you know, go to a 12 step meeting. But now that we're running this, recovery program, I've met a lot of, females in recovery in locally. And, so I've started to, participate in 12 step meetings. I've also started to, like I did a study, a book study with some of the women in the recovery program. And so I've connected more with the women in recovery. And so yeah. I think that has been a big part of my recovery is that I've gained friends and relationships with these women in recovery that I'd never had before. And so I have these females in my life that are going to be there for me no matter what. And, I don't feel judged by them and I can talk to them about my deepest, darkest stuff. Whereas I have friends in CrossFit, but I can't tell them my deepest, darkest things. And so, you know, today, like my recovery is, you know, obviously I have exercise, I have fitness, I have the support from my family and from my husband. But I also have started, connecting more with women in recovery. And so I think that that's a big change for me. That's been super helpful.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I appreciate you answering
that. Love that answer. Thank you.
Yeah. I think it's good for people to hear that, especially, you know, like you said, recovery evolves and it starts where it starts. But then if you're new to recovery, it's kind of like most people have the idea that you kind of just recover and then you're all good. And then there's people like us on these podcasts that are like, no, like you just keep going. and it gets more in depth and changes directions, but it never stops. So I like hearing that, you know, from someone with 10 years sober. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I think it is that, you know, like we talked about just kind of like continuing to get new tools for our toolbox. And like, for me, you know, like CrossFit, that was a tool. And then like, now I started, you know, for me, hosting the recovery classes and sharing recovery was the tool for me, because yeah. I got to see people and share with people, recovery. And so that helped keep me sober. And now I like am finding this new tool of like connecting with women. And so like, that's a new tool for my toolbox. And like, I just am continuing to like find these new, things that I can use. And I don't use one, and I don't use, like, it's not an all or nothing for me. It's, I use a little bit of what I need at that moment, every single day.
Love that.
That's like a recovery Jedi move.
That's experience right there. Yes. and thank you for being such an inspiration to women everywhere, women in recovery, women in CrossFit. You inspire us from both sides. I would love to see you compete against Dallas someday. he's not used to some like, you know, competition at his level. I would love to see that as well.
That's awesome.
So where can our listeners find you, or what are you doing now? What would be the best way if people want to reach out, or they want to come to your gym, or they want to come to your recovery class and they happen to be listening?
Yeah. So we have a Instagram for our recovery program. It's called Recovery RXD. So Recovery RX. And nice. Then I also have my personal recovery, or my personal Instagram page is Team Carlene. And then CrossFit St. Helens has a website and also an Instagram page.
Awesome. We love that.
Yeah. Well, we'll put that in all of the show notes for the episode.
Yeah.
So people can find you. And I'm for sure going to add you on all those things
because I'm an
Instagrammer. Yeah, I'm totally an Instagrammer. And yeah, did you have anything else you wanted to say before we kind of close out? Any final thoughts or anything like that?
I don't think so. I mean, I just think that like, I really appreciate you guys like contacting me, and, it was really cool for me to see like what you guys are doing. And so I respect that. Like I love like what you guys are doing, and, I just thought it was really cool. So I'm glad that you, contacted me and like kind of brought my attention to your facility. Because it's cool to see these like facilities actually like incorporating this. Whereas, you know, like I said, like it would be really cool if they would do it, but I don't think they would, you know, here, but yeah. So it's cool to see like that people are doing it. And, it makes me like hopeful that like we could go there in more places. So
absolutely. We could change the world with recovery and CrossFit.
Yeah.
That's our goal.
That's awesome. Doing
it. Yeah. Thank you so much for being on the show. And it was great talking to you, and let us know how we can support Recovery RX.
Thank you.
All right.
Of course. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah. Hopefully you can get a workout in. Now sounds like the baby's good. Go get a quick workout in.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll be rooting for you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. You're welcome. Bye.
All right, guys. That's our show for today. We hope you found some value from listening. And if you did, please share with someone you know or love. You can find us on social media. We are at Elevate Addiction Services.
And if you or a loved one are struggling with addiction, please call our toll-free, confidential 24-hour helpline at 833-33-SOBER or visit our website at elevaterehab.org.